Let's pray. Our dear and most wonderful triune God, tonight we come here with almost nothing but blessing. We'd like to bless you, Father, Son, and Spirit, for all that you have planned, for all that you have accomplished, and for all that you have transmitted and are still transmitting to your church, your chosen and redeemed and transformed people, to work out something according to your pleasure, according to your intent, eternal good intention. Lord, to work out a purpose according to your will. We praise you tonight. We give you thanks how in the beginning of this church age, you saw fit to open up this mystery through your holy apostles and prophets, that men can come to know what is in your heart, what is on your mind. And yet we also praise you at the end of this church age. We believe that we're now in. Lord, you have come to us again to interpret all these things through the ministers of this age, allowing us all to see these great matters. Oh, tonight we just say, this is far beyond what the mind can conceive. It's far beyond what we can think about. What profoundness, what mystery, what depth of riches, what wisdom and prudence, all hidden in you but now revealed to us. What privilege that we are enjoying to be able to know these things and hear these things concerning yourself as the divine Trinity, concerning your unique work in your economy to dispense yourself in your divine Trinity. All of this to build up your body. All of this to prepare your bride. All of this to bring in the kingdom. And all of this to consummate the new Jerusalem. We praise you, Triune God. Be with us once again. We have no utterance and we are at the loss of words. We trust in you, Lord. Look to you as the anointing spirit. Anoint both the speaking and also the hearing. And may your hand follow your word well beyond this message tonight. Bless us, O Lord. Oh, may the grace of Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. All the local churches in your dear recovery. Amen. Well, at the outset, I would like to say, dear brothers and sisters, this is not an excuse. But this is really something that I feel right this moment, that this wonderful outline with all of these deep and profound content, especially tonight we're talking about nothing less than the divine dispensing of the divine Trinity revealed in the book of Ephesians. I hardly know how to bear this message or deliver this message in an adequate way. This is beyond human words, absolutely beyond human words. But nevertheless, I have been assigned to give this message tonight, so I do need your prayer. And of course, I need the Lord very much right now. I'm also cognizant that among us there may be young ones and maybe some new friends of ours. I'd like to take care of you as well and do my best to speak some of these deep things in an understandable way. I like to firstly just recommend to you, for those of you who have a heart to pursue these things, particularly I'm talking of course about this message, two books among many. One is called The Issue of the Dispensing of the Process Trinity and the Transmitting of the Transcending Christ, a very unusual and long title. But let me say it again. The Issue of the Dispensing of the Process Trinity and the Transmitting of the Transcending Christ. At the first glance, you may say these are just a lot of words, but if you would just probe and get into these things even just a little bit, you'll be amazed. You'll be impressed where these words come from. As you heard in my prayer tonight, I just feel we are the most blessed people. Maybe in some ways more blessed for those who live in Paul's age. Of course, Paul was the one who completed the Word of God. He was the one, at least he took the lead, to reveal the mystery of the ages. The mystery, the secret that is in God, and he opened that up in his epistles, and particularly in this greatest, I would say, of his epistles, and that is the epistle to the Ephesians. And but he wrote it down, thank the Lord. It's all written down. Whether those saints in that age understood them, I do not know. But it is all written down. But I praise the Lord for the age that we find ourselves in. This is after 2,000 years, brothers and sisters. Not only we have the Word of God containing these marvelous writings of Paul, unveiling to us these riches in God, but today we have two ministers of the age that are conjoined as one minister to my realization, who over the last, not 100 years, but 75 years, I'm counting from the time when the Lord raised up Watchman Nee there in China until the passing away of Brother Witness Lee. Between these two brothers, I would say what Paul saw, that incredible mystery that Paul saw, is now once again revealed to us. Don't you want to pinch yourself? Every day I'm pinching myself because not only we have the Bible, you know, all these are in the Bible, and almost every home in this country has a Bible or two. But how many knows what this Bible talks about? How many knows concerning the divine Trinity seen in this way, in the way of the divine dispensing? That the divine Trinity is not just for Trinitarian theology. It is for the divine dispensing of this triune God, Father, Son, and Spirit into us. To be our life. To be our life supply. To be our all and in all. So that we would be soaked by Him. We would be permeated with Him. We would be constituted with Him to the point that His element, His essence, all that He is, all that He has gone through as far as a glorious process, now consummated in and as that all-inclusive, life-giving Spirit has come into us. This is the dispensing of the triune God, and this was God's eternal intention. We wouldn't know this without this ministry, would we? Absolutely not. And tonight, I don't know how many people here, 2,000 saints here, and some on the internet online, we of all people, an incredibly small number, minuscule number of believers, we get to see what Paul saw. I say a hallelujah. What a mercy. What a mercy. And so, dear saints, we have to what? We really need to pray Paul's prayer that what? We would be granted a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the full knowledge of Him. We need our eyes, the eyes of our heart, to be enlightened, that we would know what is the hope of our calling, which has everything to do with this divine dispensing, even the fulfillment of what? Of this hope of our calling has everything to do with the moment by moment, day by day, dispensing of the triune God into our being. And what are the riches of His glory, of His inheritance in the saints? That all this is to make us His inheritance, and we as in His inheritance are predestinated or designated to enjoy Him as our inheritance. That means we inherit each other, God and man, mutually. Am I speaking angelic words or what? Brothers and sisters, I pray with Brother James, Lord, cleanse my lips, wash my mind. I can hardly speak these holy things in a natural way. Now, we come to the outline tonight, and that is, as I read already, the title. The other book that I would like to recommend is The Divine Dispensing of the Divine Trinity. This is a simpler title. The Divine Dispensing of the Divine Trinity. And one more, Living in and with the Divine Trinity. I hope there's some books in the book sales area there. Go get it. You will not regret. And I hope that all of us in the recovery will spend the rest of our lives diving into these riches. It's all in the books, but let's get these books into our being, shall we? Now, Roman numeral 1. Tonight, we are getting into the book of Ephesians. Now, how can we cover the book of Ephesians in a mere 45 minutes? This is an impossible task. You know, I was thinking that this book of Ephesians must be Paul's symphony. This is not just a hymn. This is not just a spiritual song. This is a marvelous, magnificent symphony written by the Apostle Paul. And every chapter is a movement. I know a typical symphony is 4 movements, but this is too much. So he wrote 6 movements in 6 chapters, and tonight we're going to go from movement to movement just a little bit, just to touch the tip of the iceberg, just to whet our appetite so that we can spend the rest of our years, old and young, brothers and sisters, to get into these things. Our brotherly charge us to do that, and we're still repeating that burden. Now, number 1, Roman 1, in the entire universe, the unique blessing is the triune God. All right? You get it? Dear saints, it's not some material blessing. It's not another zero or two in your bank account. It's not your earthly possessions. It's not even, shall I say, your wonderful family and all these things. We thank the Lord for that, and He did bless us with those things. But the unique blessing of the triune God is the triune God. God is the eternal blessing that He bestowed. He bestowed Himself upon us. He has nothing better to gift to us than He Himself. And this blessing comes to us through the divine dispensing of the divine Trinity into us. How does this blessing come to us? It didn't just drop down from the sky. It comes to us in a particular way, and is through the divine dispensing of the divine Trinity. In other words, the blessing comes through dispensing. Every time when we open to the Lord as an open vessel, we tell Him we love Him, we open our hearts and our whole being to receive Him, we deal with all the problems and obstacles and insulation in between, so there's nothing between us. We're open just to Him to flow Himself into us. This is when the blessing of God is coming to you. Do you want that blessing? Many saints, they don't have much. They even suffer the loss, humanly, materially, physically. Look at Paul. Look at others throughout the ages. They're deprived. They are stripped, almost, I mean, outwardly speaking. And they don't have much to speak of. But you know what? They have been blessed with the greatest blessing, with all the riches in this triune God. I like to say here, just a quick word, you know, we use this word dispense very freely, right? We dispense, God dispense Himself to us. But you have to notice, brothers and sisters, this word dispense, it does not say flow, it does not say gift. It does not even say poured out, although in the word there is this word pouring out that implies a kind of dispensing. This word dispense means to what? Means you have something, a lot of riches, and you divide up these riches and you mete out these riches. You distribute these riches according to a plan. Dispensing is not just me pulling out, okay, $1 million in some baggages here and I just throw it out there, come and get it. That's not dispensing, that's just throwing out cash. The divine Trinity is not crazy like that. I tell you, there's something so deep in God, something so eternal in God, something so deliberate in God, in His eternal farsightedness and foresightedness, what He wants to do for His own pleasure, that is to gain a group of people that He will work Himself or wrought Himself into them to make them in every way just like He is. From their spirit to their soul to the body, they will all be permeated with this triune God. They would be filled with His divine life and His divine nature. They would be what? They would be renewed. They would be transformed. Eventually, they would even be conformed to the image of the Son of God. They would just become God in life and nature, though not in the Godhead. And they would be built up together in Christ to become the body of Christ. And this is actually the church that he wants. And this would become his eternal expression. God desires this, and he had a tremendous plan. He is filled with wisdom. He is filled with prudence. Wisdom means something that comes from within him. No one counseled him. No one told him what to do. It's all from inside the triune God in eternity past. And based on that, that desire of his, he had a purpose, has an intention, and according to that, he designed a plan, and that's what we call an economy. The economy is a plan, an arrangement, like the economy of a nation. There's an arrangement there. And that arrangement is for the purpose of distribution, of spreading the riches, of administering these riches, to allocate them, to apportion them, to distribute them to all that God has chosen, all that God has predestined in eternity past. I mean, we're talking about millions and maybe billions of people under this dispensing. I mean, dear brothers and sisters, this is why the universe was created. This is why the world is here. This is why there's so many things on the earth. This is why you and I were made. This is why we're made in His image and according to His likeness. Am I right? All this is God's marvelous, marvelous plan to what? To work out His desire. And this is the meaning of dispensing. And so, God does not do it at once. He planned it before time, and He will consummate it outside of time. And through this period, from age to age, from time to time, He was working out His plan. Working out His plan. Right? There even in the Old Testament so-called different dispensations. Those dispensations are His act. According in a certain age to work out something for His eternal economy. The age of the sin. The age of law. Am I right? And then the Lord Jesus came, God incarnate. I tell you, that was a dispensing. According to that time, the time has come for God to become a man. For Him to go through what? The human living. For Him to go through eventually death and resurrection. And even ascension to accomplish redemption and to be transfigured, to become that life-giving Spirit, so that He can finally come into us. All this is according to plan. The problem in a lot of the disaster situation, people rush and bring in a lot of material, but they have no plan. And so the people don't get all the things that they need. So when we use dispense, we often use it in the context of food. We also use it in the context of medication. Am I right? Medicine. Because it takes a grand plan. It takes a more than a strategy, a long-term plan to work this out. For God to dispense Himself into us. And dear saints, check your own life. Look back at your life. Isn't your life all a plan? Amen? Even God is so detailed for each one of us, what time and what year and what day He will work something out so that you can get your dispensing.
Amen.
So that you can be redeemed and saved.
Hallelujah.
Amen?
Amen?
So that you can believe in the gospel. So that you will be regenerated.
Hallelujah.
And so on and so forth. This is the dispensing of God in this divine Trinity into His chosen and redeemed people for their experience and enjoyment. All this dispensing of God himself into us is for our experience and for our enjoyment. I love these two E's, experience and enjoyment. Yes, on the one hand, this marvelous, mysterious plan of God is worked out from age to age, from eternity to eternity. On the other hand, God is practical. God is detailed. This dispensing is worked out in our lives day by day, moment by moment. And we have messages on this. And tomorrow we will have a wonderful finale to this conference concerning our daily life, how this dispensing practically goes on moment by moment. This morning I was in my shower in the room up there. And when I was showering, of course the hot water feels good. But as I was there, I was saying, Lord, I'm not going to waste my time taking a shower just enjoying the hot water. Lord, I'm here under your dispensing. While the hot water is flowing, your hot water is coming into me. This hot water will stop, but your hot water will not. Lord, flow yourself into me. Dispense yourself into me right now. Amen? I tell you, it is by this little dispensing, from minute to minute, from time to time, from occasion to occasion, that God saves us to the uttermost. That God would fill us and God would gain us. A, the Bible reveals that the triune God is not merely the object of our faith. He is subjective to us, dwelling in us, and dispensing himself into us to be our life and life supply. I like to caution our young people. We do not like to really encourage you to go to the seminary to get some degree, high degree in theology, in all these things. Systematic theology or whatever theology, there are a bunch of them. Because, as it say here, we are thankful for the faith that we have received, the Christian faith that is, that common faith, that includes the very triune God and His Word, and His redemption and salvation, and so on. But the triune God is not for our study. In that way. The triune God is not just for our mental apprehension. The triune God is not just for to satisfy our intellect. The triune God must be subjective to us. This word, subjective, is very, very key. I'm afraid, and I have seen some dear brothers, dear ones, went to the seminary and got their degree. And almost, in talking to them, I sense a difference. Yes, they have much more knowledge now. They have much more learned now, much more than I, for sure. But there is a danger. There is a danger, brothers and sisters, and that is we may fall into the trap of knowing the triune God merely outwardly and mentally. God is not for that. God is for us to enjoy, to experience, to partake of. He is dwelling in us, dispensing himself into us to be our life and life supply. I like to say that instead of going to a seminary, I'll find another way for you to get a degree, a real one. These days we're burdened to read the life studies. You read the 1984 life studies, I will give you 2 degrees. Not just one. And that degree will not be because you now know so much in your head. But those, by reading those life studies, you will gain a vision of this mystery. You will see the triune God as you have never seen. And you will know about His divine dispensing. And these life studies, yes, they are called life studies, will help you to enjoy God as life and life supply. And this will transform you. This will change you. This will renew you. This will sanctify you. This will make you holy. And this will make you like God. In fact, this will make you God in life and nature by getting into this interpreted word. Dear saints, this is far better. Far better. Get into this ministry and enjoy this indwelling and dispensing triune God. B. The Bible was written according to the governing principle of the triune God working Himself into His chosen and redeemed people as the life and life supply. Here we have this wonderful, wonderful reference. That is the reference in the book of what? Of Psalms. And I don't have the time. I'm already a little bit off with my time. But this is a wonderful inclusion of this reference here in this outline. You know, this little hymn that we just sang, I wrote it a few years ago, that was based on Numbers 6 on the Divine Trinity becoming our eternal blessing in so many wonderful ways. And together, you have to study Numbers 6 along with 2 Corinthians chapter 13, 14 in the New Testament to fully decode, fully decipher this mystery of the divine dispensing of the divine Trinity in His eternal blessing to His people. But we have another one in Psalms. The Old Testament is full of these portions on the divine dispensing of the divine Trinity, even in the Old Testament, because this is God's eternal purpose and will. And so in Psalm 36:8, it says, they are saturated with the fatness of your house, and you cause them to drink of the river of your pleasures. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light we see light. A lot of people, Christians, have read this Psalms, and they just read it. They appreciate the poetry here. But I'd like to read it to you, what our brother Lee has seen in this, because I cannot replicate what he has said. He said this, verse 8 and 9, these are the two verses I just read in Psalm 36. Reveal the divine Trinity in His divine dispensing as the enjoyment of God's people in His house. This was also referred to in Message 1 by Brother Ed. The fatness refers to Christ, the Son, the river of the divine pleasures, to the Spirit as the river of the water of life, and the fountain of life and light to the Father as the source of life and light. How about that? I mean, after you read this, you say, why didn't I see it? Well, it was not for you to see it at first, but now we're here to inherit it. Amen? Do you see the divine Trinity here? Do you see His divine dispensing here in these few verses? These verses indicate that even in the dispensation of law, which is where the Psalms were written, before the dispensation of grace of the New Testament, in the New Testament age, the seeking saints enjoy the triune God in his dwelling place on earth. How about that? They indicate further that the entire Bible was written according to the controlling vision that the triune God is working himself into his chosen and redeemed people to be their life and their life supply in order to saturate the entire being with the divine Trinity, that is, with the Father as the fountain, the Son as the fatness, and the Spirit as the river. Amen? Praise the fountain. Praise the fatness. And praise that river. Through this, the triune God is what? Is dispensed into us. Today, we're in the church life, brothers and sisters, which is the real house of God. Here we enjoy what? Christ as our fatness, don't we? We enjoy the Father as what? As the fountain of life and light. And surely we're here drinking of the river of his pleasures. And all this enjoyment we have today will what? Culminate in what? The tree of life, the river of water of life, and the light of life in that new Jerusalem in eternity. I don't know what to say. And now I say again, hallelujah. You know, Paul didn't know what to say in chapter 1 of Ephesians, so every so often he just say, to the praise of his glory. To the praise of his glory. To the praise of his glory. Father, Son, and Spirit. What dispensing? You see this, you just have to prostrate. Or you just have to jump up. I don't care. What dispensing this is! God is really working out his economy to fulfill his own will. And we're part of that. We're part of that. Now, I better be quick here. We come to two. The divine Trinity is the framework of the entire Bible. The whole Bible, especially the book of Ephesians, is constructed with the divine Trinity. Now, firstly, the triune God himself is what? Is the framework. The framework of the entire Bible. Some of us need to spend time, not to go to the seminary, but with the help of the life studies and with the help of some of these books of the ministry, deep dive into this matter to find out how the divine Trinity is the framework of the entire Word of God. You study the Bible through the lens of the divine Trinity. This will be a new Bible to you. Our brother Lee started to do this. And he spoke these messages. The books that I recommended were part of his speaking. And when I get into that, I say, goodness, I wasted so much time myself in getting into this thing and that thing, but missing actually the most important thing that the Lord has shown this minister of the age. I challenge the young saints, the millennials, the Generation Z. Don't waste your time on the internet. Don't waste your time on TikTok. Don't waste your time on Instagram. Spend your time in the ministry of this age. Spend your time in the Bible. Spend your time studying the triune God and the divine dispensing in the Bible. It'll take your whole life to do this. In the current burden, we want to ask the saints to read 2 life studies a week. You will finish 500 life studies in 5 years, and it'll take you 20 years to finish 2,000 life studies. Some of you will say, that is too slow. Let me tell you, that is not too slow. Amen. Wait till you get into it. I tell you, when you get into it, whoa, you want to stay in one verse forever.
Amen.
You want to stay in Psalm 36 for a long time. Because you see it. This is the Lord's recovery, brothers and sisters. The Lord's recovery is not to recover so many different things, external things, things that are of the leaves and flowers, however pretty they are, but things that belong to the trunk, things that belong to the central line, things that we are talking about in this conference. We need to spend our whole life getting into these things. So, do not be foolish. Understand what the will of God is. Redeem the time and get into the Word of God with the help of this ministry. Do this, dear saints. And now we know even, we see now, even the book of Ephesians especially is constructed with the Divine Trinity, which we'll get into now. Ephesians is the only book in the Bible in which every chapter is structured with the Divine Trinity as its basic element. You know, a natural mind would not inform you this. I tell you, this is revelation. This is the present day revelation that you can see in every chapter of Ephesians the Divine Trinity. As the what? Basic element. Okay. If we do not know the triune God, we cannot comprehend the profoundness of Ephesians, because every chapter of this book has the Divine Trinity as its framework. The profoundness, the profundity of this mystery, it's in the book of Ephesians. But you have to study it from the right angle. You have to get into this book in the right way. Paul didn't just write it. Of course, he was inspired by the Spirit to write this. In a what? In an accidental way, he just happened to write it this. No. I tell you, it is the Lord, through him, revealing these deep things to us. Every chapter. Now, we come to each of these chapters. It's all in this wonderful outline. 3. The entire revelation in Ephesians concerning the producing, existing, growing, building up, and fighting of the church. It's in all these 6 chapters of Ephesians. The church as the body of Christ is composed of the divine economy and the divine dispensing of the divine Trinity into the members of the body of Christ. This is the unique thing that the triune God is doing and has been doing. And today, he's still doing this. I mean, the Lord is at the right hand of God for 2,000 years, not idle. Not just sitting there, but busily dispensing in his many, many wonderful statuses. He's the leader. He is what? The administrator. He is the minister. He is the advocate. He is the high priest. He is so many other things. He's the shepherd. He is so many things. For what purpose? To accomplish this divine dispensing in our lives. To make us into us who are the members of the body of Christ. That we would, what, be substantially those members. That we would be in reality those members. We would be in practicality those members. We are not just so-called Christians warming the pews. We're here, true believers, real members of the body of Christ. We're here, what? To build up the church. That is the Lord's recovery. I like to say, brothers and sisters, we are different in that way. I'm not saying this to be proud, to be arrogant. No, we love all the believers in this whole wide world. All the saints that have been redeemed and regenerated are our dear brothers and sisters. But we must say that to so many, the majority of God's children, this mystery remains hidden after 2,000 years. This revelation is close to them. This is the enemy's work. This is his stratagem to blind, to cheat, to deceive. But God will not be stopped. God will do his work. And he starts by revealing these things to men. And today, in the Lord's recovery, we are simply blessed with this ministry to see the divine Trinity and his divine dispensing. All right. Thus, the crucial focus of Ephesians is the divine dispensing of the divine Trinity into his believers. Now, let us look at these six chapters. They are not just for us to appreciate. I hope that they will be here for us to apply, for us to experience in our church life today. And you have to get into these verses in the Bible, in the book of Ephesians. I just simply don't have the time even to read all these verses to you. You have to do it. Chapter 1 unveils how God the Father chose and predestinated the members in eternity. God the Son redeemed them, and God the Spirit sealed them as a pledge, thus imparting himself into his believers for the formation of the church, which is the body of Christ, the fullness of the one who fills all in all. I dare not get into it because I may lead you into this wonderful forest and we couldn't get out until midnight tonight. You have to get into them. Here is a map. Six chapters. Get into them. Study them. And I tell you, this is movement one of Paul's symphony. I just don't know what to say. Verses 3 to 14 covers this triune God, the Father, who predestinated that we would be holy and without blemish, that we will all become regenerated to be his sons, unto sonship. I tell you, these are deep things. These are the purpose of God. And God the Son have to work out something, accomplish something according to God's plan. Because man fell, he had to come to be a man, to die and redeem them with his blood. He has to accomplish God's plan in that kind of a way. And then God the Spirit has to what? Comes to us. And these are not three gods. These are one God with three. Economically three. God essentially is one, economically three, to work out his economy. And the third of the Godhead, God the Spirit, actually is the Father in the Son coming as the Spirit into us. The entire triune God has been dispensed and into us. And this Spirit seals us as a pledge, as a guarantee, as a sample that the best is yet to come. This is a foretaste the Spirit is giving to us, this triune God. You saints, all this, it is by this way that the church is formed. The church of God is not an organized thing. It's not a physical building. It's not a denomination. The church of God is this, is the issue of the triune God dispensing into His chosen and redeemed and indwelt people, building them up to make them one body for His universal expression. Amen?
Amen.
Dear ones, dear brothers and sisters, this is how the church come into being. Eventually, this church, as the body of Christ, is the fullness of the one who fills all and in all. That means the fullness of Christ, who fills all and in all. The church will actually be His body. One, you see, in chapter 1, we have this triune God with His divine dispensing, His distribution, His plan distribution in this wonderful way, including all His prophecies. Chapter 1 of Ephesians reveals the issue of the dispensing of the process Trinity and the transmitting of the transcending Christ. Chapter 1, 3-14, about this triune God, is just the first part of chapter 1. There's a second part that talks about the transmitting of this transcending Christ. This Christ who rose from the dead. This Christ who is seated far above all in the heavens. This Christ that overrules everything in this universe, given the highest place with the highest name. This Christ who have everything subject under His feet. This Christ, this transcendent Christ, this embodiment of the process and consummated triune God, this Christ, brothers and sisters, is to the church. To the church. To means what? To means there is a transmission going on. From this megawattage power plant, it is being transmitted into every one of us as a temple of the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
By this transmitting that we got what? That we got regenerated. By this transmitting that we get sanctified. By this transmitting we get transformed. By this transmitting we get renewed. By this transmitting, we get what? We will get conformed to His own image. And by this transmitting, we will one day be glorified. That's so that even our vile body would be redeemed. We would be the same as He in life and nature. Hallelujah. Do you say hallelujah to that or what? This is awesome, brothers and sisters. This is the divine dispensing of the divine Trinity. And it is to the church. To the church. Every moment, right now as I speak, this transcendent Christ is to me. And this transcendent Christ is to you. So just switch on. Turn it on. Let this wattage flow. Let it flow. Let it flow into you. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah!
And the more this flow comes in, the more we will be resurrected. We will be saved. And we will become the vital and living members of the body of Christ. We will grow up into Him. And we will function and operate out of Him. And the body will build up itself in love. All this is accomplished by this wonderful divine dispensing of the divine Trinity. Two, the issue of God the Father's dispensing speaks forth God's eternal purpose. The issue of God's the Son's dispensing speaks forth the accomplishment of God's eternal purpose. And the issue of God the Spirit's dispensing speaks forth the application of God's accomplished purpose. I better not get into this. This all together has what? Is for the fulfillment of God's eternal purpose. This work of the dispensing of the three of the divine Trinity. Three, since the transcending Christ is the embodiment of the triune God, His transcending transmission includes all the rich dispensing of the triune God. The triune God's threefold dispensing, Father, Son, and Spirit, is included in the transmission of the transcending Christ and is completed and consummated in the all-inclusive transmission of the transcending Christ. That means what? That means in one word, all of this eternal divine blessing, that is the triune God Himself, are what? Included in this wonderful transmission. Whatever you need, whatever your situation, this transmission will meet it, will satisfy it. You know, there are times that we just feel we are out of it. Am I right? We're down. I think at the end of message one, we get discouraged. I do too. You know, I got this terrible chronic back problem so that I couldn't come here until last night. It's terrible, the pain. And I get discouraged. I get even psychologically somewhat impacted. But more than once, while I was sitting there, the Lord said, look, you're going to talk about this wonderful thing. You don't look like it. You talk about this wonderful dispensing, the pump, 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 this transmission. What are you doing here? You're just licking your wounds. You're just complaining and murmuring. Take me. Switch on. I'm here. What do you need? Lord, I say, forgive me. I need you right now. As my strength. As my power. As my encouragement. As my uplifting. I'm not feeling well. But as Paul says, I boast in my weakness, because when I'm weak, I'm strong. When I'm down, I'm up. This transmission is real. And the more we receive the transmission, the more we will really live and function as His members. We will more be building up His body. Amen?
Amen.
I like all the sayings. Don't sit there and complain. Don't sit there and murmur. Don't sit there in despair and become hopeless about yourself, about your family, about your spouse, about your church, about the recovery. Forget about all that. Brothers and sisters, He is transmitting. Right now, what do you need? He is transmitting and more. More than what you ask or think. Amen? Take it. Receive it. Hallelujah. B, chapter 2, shows us that the divine Trinity, all the believers, both Jewish and Gentile, have access unto God the Father through God the Son in God the Spirit. We all know that verse, chapter 2, verse 18. You see, here on the matter of access to God, the Divine Trinity is at play, is in play. The Divine Trinity, you know, Jewish and Gentiles, today we share the same one access to God. And this access is through Him, that is God the Son. It is in one Spirit, God the Spirit, and it is unto the Father, coming to the Father at the source. It is entirely dispensational in the sense that it is entirely a matter of dispensing. Whether from God, the triune God, coming to us, or from us going back to God, it is all a matter of the divine Trinity in operation, in action, in our experience, and in our enjoyment. One, this indicates that the three coexist and co-inhere simultaneously, even after all the process of incarnation, human living, crucifixion, and resurrection. You have to study these things. The three coexist and co-inhere, okay? Even through in all the processes of this triune God. Two, through God the Son, who is the accomplisher, the means, and in God the Spirit, who is the executor, the application, we have access unto God the Father, who is the originator, the source of our enjoyment. Isn't this wonderful? You don't need to know all those things. We just need to know this. And know it in a subjective way. In an experiential way. We are a poem. A poem. Poema. A masterpiece. In chapter 2, we're a poem written by the dispensing of the Father as the source, the Son as the course, and the Spirit as the flow. You know, the church is God's masterpiece. He is the one who's creating this new creation, which is the church, as His handiwork, as His masterpiece. He is the greatest artist in this universe. He's writing the best poem there is. How is He writing it? How is He sculpting this? By dispensing. By His continual dispensing. By His non-stop dispensing of His Trinity into us. The source, the course, the flow. He is making this masterpiece. Even tonight, He is formulating this masterpiece. Even tonight, He is doing that. Praise the Lord. What a poem that will be. I don't know who will sing it, maybe the angels. I know for sure the angels and others will be the one who will sing at the end to the praise of His glory. Glory to the Father. Glory to the Son. Glory to the Spirit. It's not just for us to sing, but for all of the creation. One day, they will see the praise of God's glory, God's expression. God will be fully expressed in this universe. His divine dispensing work will be accomplished. And there it is, the masterpiece. The ultimate masterpiece is the new Jerusalem. The Father's dispensing is to produce the masterpiece. The Son's dispensing is to produce the new man. And the Spirit's bringing us unto the Father is in one body, result in the building up of the church and the fulfillment of God's eternal economy. While He is making this masterpiece, what does that mean? That means that today Christ is building His church. He said, I will build my church. How? By His constant two transmission. By His constant, what? Dispensing of Himself into His members. And in this dispensing, in this transmission, we love one another. We grow up into Him. And we build up together to become that one body. We function in harmony. Dear saints, this is how the church is built. Not just how the church is formed, but now how this church is built to become that habitation of God in spirit. See, we come to chapter 3. The apostle prays that God the Father will grant the believers to be strengthened with power through God the Spirit into their inner man, so that Christ, God the Son, may make his home in their hearts, that is, occupy their entire being, that they might be filled unto all the fullness of the triune God. This is the climax of the believer's experience and participation in God in the divine Trinity. This is in Paul's famous second prayer. In the first chapter, his prayer was prayer for revelation. In the second prayer in chapter 3 is the prayer for experience. And here, once again, we see the divine dispensing of the divine Trinity. The apostle prayed to God the Father that the Father would grant the believers to be strengthened with power through God the Spirit. This is the third of the Trinity, into the inner man where the Spirit resides and is mingled with our spirit, so that Christ, the second of the Trinity, God the Son, will make home in our hearts to occupy our whole inner being. All this have a result, and that is unto, resulting in the fullness of the triune God. All the riches of the triune God now has a way to be displayed, to be seen, to be witnessed by the entire universe. All kinds of angels, including the evil, rebellious angels, they have to see that God has finished his work. He will gain his fullness in this universe that express all his riches. Today, brothers and sisters, we need to pray this prayer. Brother Lee say, pray this prayer for 30 days every day. Lord, Father, strengthen me, strengthen the saints into their inner man. Through your Spirit, in their spirit. And Father, may Christ make home, dwell in, deeply, settle down in their hearts. That means in our entire being. Fill us, fill us. Fill all the believers unto your fullness. One, the Father is the source, the Spirit is the means, the Son is the object, and the fullness of the triune God is the issue. Two, each of the three does not act for himself, but for the fullness of the triune God. This is a beautiful picture of the divine Trinity. I appreciate, Brother Ed, that last you included something as the speaking of Brother Lee to the trainees there about this beautiful, beautiful example, the beautiful pattern of the divine Trinity. There's no jealousy between the three. There's no fighting between the three. None of the three are for themselves, but each for the other, and each needs the other. I mean, it's a beautiful, beautiful picture of the coordination and blending and building up that we should experience in the Lord. And you see this in the triune God. Oh, it's just marvelous. Magnificent. Magnificent. And we're here to become his duplication corporately, aren't we? D. Ephesians portrays how the process God as the Spirit, the Lord, and the Father is mingled with the body of Christ, so that all the members of the body may experience the divine Trinity. This is in Ephesians 4, in verses 4 to 6, where it says there is one body, one Spirit, one Lord, and one God, the Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in us all. Okay, so here we see number one, the body of Christ is the sphere for the development of the triune God. The triune God is complete, but here there's a development, there's a process, because for the working out of his economy. Two, the divine dispensing of God the Father in his being over all, of the Son in his being through all, and of the Spirit in his being in all, and enables all the members of the body of Christ to experience and enjoy the triune God. Even in the Father, there is the Trinity. Over all, through all, and in all. All this is so that we can enjoy and experience the triune God wholly. Three, these verses reveal actually four persons. The one body, one Spirit, one Lord, and one God the Father. Mingled together as one entity to be the organic body of Christ. You ask me the definition of the body of Christ, here it is. It is the mingling of the divine Trinity with the tripartite, regenerated and being transformed and to be glorified man. It is what? This mingling, the mingling of these four, if you will, that produce the organic body of Christ. Thus, the triune God and the body are four in one. This does not make the body of Christ an object of worship. This does not make the body of Christ part of the Godhead. That's not what we're saying. God is still God. The body, Christ is still the head. The church is still his body. We're not God in that way, but we sure are God in life and in nature the same as he. Otherwise, how can we be his body? Am I right? All right. E, chapter 5, exhorts the believers to praise the Lord, God the Son, with the songs of God the Spirit, the spiritual songs, and give thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, God the Son, to God the Father. Isn't this wonderful? Even in our singing, in our speaking, in our meetings, this what? Triune God is doing his dispensing work. The dispensing of this divine Trinity has to take place in our daily living and in our meeting life. Amen? This is to praise and thank the process God in his divine Trinity for our enjoyment of him as the triune God. Two, through the divine dispensing of the divine Trinity, we are constituted as children of God, walking in God as love and light. This is in the earlier part of that chapter. And later on, it does talk about our life of praising and singing. This is why I appreciate 1 Thessalonians. Rejoice always. Am I right? Pray without ceasing. Am I right? What else? In everything give thanks. Am I right? And grieve not the Spirit. Am I right? All this is a Christian life and practice totally wrapped up in the divine dispensing. Let's see more happy faces. Amen. Uplifted countenance. Amen? Amen? Rejoice. Amen. Sing. Amen. Speak. Amen. Give thanks. Amen. This is the wonderful life in the divine dispensing. Ordinary daily life, but full of the divine dispensing. As we enjoy and experience this wonderful triune God. Chapter 6 instructs us, last chapter, to fight the spiritual warfare by being empowered in the Lord, God the Son, putting on the whole armor of God the Father, and wielding the sword of the Spirit. Even in our spiritual warfare, the church as God's warrior, we fight in this divine dispensing. We fight under this dispensing. Don't try to go and fight when you're not under dispensing. You'll be defeated. Because we need to put on the whole armor of God. We need to be empowered by Christ and by His might. We need to hold in our hand the sword of the Spirit, which Spirit is the Word of God. And here we are with the whole armor of God, which only the body of Christ can wear, and not any individual believer. Now we can do battle. Now we can stand. Now we can withstand. And now we can defeat all the stratagems of the devil. Amen? One, God the Son is the power within us. God the Father, realizing the Son, is the armor upon us. And God the Spirit is the sword, who is the Word of God. We have what we need to fight the spiritual warfare. Two, this is the believer's experience and enjoyment of the triune God, even in the spiritual warfare. Amen? Now, I read, finish, Roman numeral 4. According to the entire revelation of the 66 books of the Bible, the divine Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit is for God's dispensing. That is, for the distribution of God into His chosen people. God is triune, so that He can dispense Himself into us, work Himself into us for us to enjoy, so that we can be built up to be the body of Christ and prepare to be the bride of Christ for His second coming, when the kingdom of the world becomes the kingdom of our Lord and of His Christ, for Him to reign forever and ever. Hallelujah! Shall we sing that song to end? Glory, glory to the Father. The one who purposed and so on, you know that one? Glory, glory to the Father.